Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Hello, true crime fans, and welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show, brought to you by the Highwire Media Network. I'm your host, Larry Lease. On today's episode of Cold Case Friday, we dive into the Virginia cold case. Where are Cassandra Haley and Keith Call? Police believe they were victims of a serial killer, but their bodies have never been found. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Cassandra Haley had a reason to be excited on Saturday, April 9th, 1988. The 18-year-old was going out that night with a fellow Christopher Newport College student, Richard Keith Call. Richard, who preferred to go by his middle name, arranged to pick up Cassandra at her home in Grafton, Virginia, and the 20-year-old arrived right on time. He was looking forward to the night out. He had recently broken up with his girlfriend of 4 years, and this would be his first date since the breakup. As soon as Cassandra saw Keith pull up in his red Toyota, she ran outside and climbed inside the car. They went to the movies first. Once the film was over, the couple then headed to a party being held at the University Square Apartments, located just a few blocks away from their college campus. The party was crowded with dozens of other Christopher Newport students. Keith and Cassandra spent a few hours at the party before leaving around 1:30 a.m. Cassandra had a 2 a.m. curfew. Keith planned to drop her off at home and then attend another party. Although several witnesses recall seeing the couple leave the party, no one knew where they went after that. It's unclear how far from the apartment Keith had to park, and there were no witnesses who saw them getting into Keith's car. The only thing known for certain is that neither Cassandra nor Keith were ever seen again. Around 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, Keith's father was driving on Colonial Parkway near Yorktown, Virginia, and saw what he thought was his son's red Toyota, parked at one of the parkway's scenic overlooks. He didn't think anything of it at the time. Keith had told his parents that he would be staying over at a friend's house, and they weren't expecting him home until sometime that afternoon. A park ranger on routine patrol within Colonial National Park noticed the vehicle around 7:30 a.m. It was still there when he made a second pass through the area at 9 a.m., so he decided to get out and make sure everything was okay. There was no one inside the vehicle, but as the ranger peered inside, he noticed that the key was in the ignition and there was clothing scattered throughout the car. Once investigators determined the car's owner, it didn't take long for them to learn that neither Keith nor his date had been seen since leaving a party the previous evening. This led them to believe that they might be dealing with more than just two people who had gone swimming and drowned. The Colonial Parkway had earned a dangerous reputation for couples in recent years. It started in 1986, when two college students who had parked at an overlook were found dead in their car, their throat slit. In 1987, another couple was murdered along the parkway. Their bodies had been thrown into the nearby James River. Their truck was found abandoned in a wildlife refuge with the key in the ignition and clothing scattered around, eerily similar to how Keith's car was found. At the time of Keith's and Cassandra's disappearance, both of these double homicides remained unsolved. Cassandra's older sister, Terry, was a Newport News police officer. As soon as she learned what had happened, she knew that her sister wouldn't have gone swimming and wouldn't have disappeared voluntarily. She quickly drove to where Keith's car was found and told park rangers that she was certain they were dealing with a crime. When police searched through the abandoned Toyota, they found most of Keith's clothing, some of Cassandra's clothing, and three shoes. Oddly, one of Cassandra's shoes was missing and was never found. Keith's wallet and Cassandra's purse were also found in the car. There was no blood found inside the car, and there was nothing to indicate that a struggle had taken place. Although investigators found no sign of foul play at the scene, it was the most likely explanation for the disappearance. Overnight temperatures had been in the low to mid-40s, far too cold for anyone to consider going swimming, and detectives didn't believe that the couple would have voluntarily left the car without their clothing. A large-scale search was launched the day Keith's car was found. After tracking dogs seemed to pick up the couple's scent heading down a steep, 25-foot embankment to a small beach below, investigators scoured the shoreline for more than 3 miles in each direction. Divers spent hours searching underwater. They found nothing to indicate that Keith or Cassandra had been on the beach. State police helicopters were used to fly over the area surrounding the parkway, but they found nothing significant. Searchers were sent to several small islands located in the water to comb along the shorelines. boats and divers continued to scour the river. Despite the extensive search, no clues to the couple's whereabouts or fate were found. The family of the missing couple didn't believe that they would have stopped along Colonial Parkway for any reason. Cassandra had a 2 a.m. curfew, and she made sure she was always on time. She would call if she were going to be a few minutes late. They were sure she intended to come straight home after leaving the party at 1:30 a.m. Keith's family noted that he usually avoided driving on Colonial Parkway. The road had become somewhat stigmatized after the recent murders, and many locals were afraid to travel on it. Since Keith's car had been found on federal property, the FBI had primary jurisdiction over the investigation. The agency didn't believe that the couple had drowned. They announced that the mysterious disappearance was most likely an abduction, and they would be investigating it as such. They admitted that they had not found any evidence to suggest the couple had been murdered. Left unsaid was their belief that a potential serial killer might be operating along the parkway. Detectives questioned whether the couple had even been in the car by the time it was abandoned at the parkway overlook. It was possible that they had met their fate while Keith was driving Cassandra home when his car was found. Keith's wallet was still in it. They theorized that Keith had been pulled over by someone impersonating a police officer, perhaps along Route 17 on the way to Cassandra's home. It was possible that the car and belongings had been left at the overlook by the perpetrator in an effort to confuse law enforcement. But the Haley and Call families tried to remain optimistic and believe that the couple would be found alive. They made missing person flyers and distributed them throughout the area, pleading for anyone with any information to call them. A reward fund soon reached $11,000. This brought in a few tips, but none that brought them any closer to finding Keith and Cassandra. Detectives made several appeals to the public for information. They were interested in speaking with anyone who might have seen Keith and Cassandra at any point after they left the party in the early hours of Sunday morning. They had been unable to find any witnesses who saw the couple as they walked to Keith's car or on the road, and they were still trying to determine if they had been in the car when it was parked at the overlook. Unfortunately, even with the offer of a financial reward, no one came forward with any new information. Months went by and there was little progress on the investigation. It became harder for the families to hold on to hope that Keith and Cassandra would be found alive, but they refused to stop searching. Cassandra's family spent many weekends searching through a wooded area across the highway from where Keith's car had been found. It was clear they were searching for her body. If Cassandra was still alive, they weren't going to find her there. Another young couple went missing from the Parkway area in September 1989. Their car was abandoned at a rest stop, and their bodies were found in a nearby wooded area a month later. Although their car was left on Interstate 64 and not Colonial Parkway like those of the other victims, police believe that all the killings were linked, and they were most likely dealing with a serial killer. The death toll was now 8. Keith and Cassandra, though presumed dead, were the only two victims who were still missing. Detectives wanted nothing more than to identify the person responsible for the Parkway murders. The clues remained elusive. They followed up on each tip that was called in, but none of them led to any significant developments in the case. By 1992, after more than 2 years without any Parkway murders, investigators believed that the killings were over. Detectives have never been able to determine the identity of the killer, but they speculated that he may have died or been jailed on an unrelated offense. It was also possible that the killings had been done by two people working together and one of them had died or been jailed, leaving the other free but unwilling to commit such crimes alone. The case remains open and the investigation is still considered active, but no progress has been made on the case in years. Keith and Cassandra remain missing. Many believe that the killer dumped their bodies in the York River and they were carried into the Chesapeake Bay, never to be found. The fact that their bodies were never recovered made it harder for the families to accept that they were gone. Although they have come to terms with their loss, they still hope that they will one day be able to bring them home and give them a proper burial. They also believe that there are people in the Virginia area who have information needed to solve this case and bring some measure of closure to the victims' families. Cassandra's family has expressed frustration about the way the case was handled. In 2018, they noted that they felt abandoned by the FBI, the Virginia State Police, and the National Park Service. They also pointed out the fact that the three organizations seemed to fight over jurisdiction and failed to share evidence with each other. They believe that this was one of the main reasons why no progress had been reported in years. Despite being failed by the system, they continue to hope that they will one day obtain justice for Cassandra. Keith's parents both died relatively young, his father in 96 and his mother in 2001. They were each just 60 years old, but having a missing child seems to make people age faster. His siblings continue to hope that he will one day be found and his killer brought to justice, but admit that the hardest part for them was watching how the tragedy affected their parents. Keith's sister is still haunted by something her brother said concerning one of his classmates who had been killed in an accident. Keith told his sister that he hoped nothing like that would ever happen to him. It was the last conversation the two siblings had before Keith disappeared. Cassandra Haley was 18 years old when she went missing in 1988. She has brown eyes and brown hair, and at the time of her disappearance, she was 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighed 135 pounds. Richard Keith Call was 20 years old when he went missing in 1988. He has blue eyes and a light brown hair. At the time of his disappearance, he was 6 feet tall and weighed 150 pounds. If you have any information about Cassandra or Keith, you're asked to contact the Virginia State Police at 757-424-6850 or the FBI Norfolk, Virginia office at 804-455-0100. And before we go, we'd like to remind you of our affiliate of Cold Case Friday, and that is NordVPN. When diving into the dark, twisted world of true crime, staying secure online is crucial. Whether you're researching chilling cases, browsing forums, or watching documentaries, you don't want anyone snooping around your digital tracks, and that's where NordVPN comes in. As a true crime fan, you know how important it is to keep things under wraps. With NordVPN, you can protect your privacy with just a click. Their military-grade encryption hides your data from prying eyes, whether it's hackers, nosy websites, or even your ISP. Plus, with over 5,000 servers worldwide, you can access content from anywhere without restrictions. So whether you're uncovering details from a lesser-known case or streaming your favorite true crime series, you can do it all securely and without limitations. If you're serious about your digital safety, especially in this age of cybercrime, don't go online without the protection NordVPN offers. Stay safe while you feed your curiosity. Use the link in the description, and you can help the show. With that, we'd also like to remind you, if you want to support the channel in another way, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring a new host, and hopefully one day take this show on the road. And with your support, we can make that happen. And of course, don't forget to give us a thumbs up if you like your video. Hit that subscribe button down below. You know that big, shiny subscribe button right down there. And you might as well, right next to it, hit that bell button to be notified of future videos. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.